We are sitting in the holy Tirtha Ananta Sarovar. When Lord Sri Varahadev appeared, Ananta Shesh came from under the earth and broke through the earth at this place to see the beautiful pastimes of Lord Varahadev. So he created this kund with his hoods in his great enthusiasm to witness the pastimes of the Lord. Also, Lord Brahma, before he performed that yajna that we were speaking about, in which Varadaraj manifested from the sacred fire, he had Vishwakarma carve a wooden deity of Lord Narayan. And that wooden deity is kept underwater. How many months per year?
Once in 40 years.
It's kept. You see this gopuram that's closest to us, golden in color? The wooden deity of Varadaraj is kept under the water there and is brought out only once every 40 years. When will the next time be when he gives his darshan?
2019.
For how much time he stays?
40 years.
How long will he give darshan?
45 days or something like that. 1 and a half month.
So in 2019 he will come out and give darshan for 1 month and then go back underwater for 40 years. The waters of Ananta Sarovar. This is also very, very holy place for all of us because it is the site where one of the greatest, most historical pastimes of Vaishnav history took place. For your pleasure, I will try to narrate that story. I will repeat where we left off just before. Kanchipurna, out of his natural humility, never considered himself important. He did not feel he had any significance. He considered himself most lowly and humble, servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord, and was perfectly satisfied to render the most menial services. He was truly an example of the verse that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expected all of us to meditate upon. Trinadapi sunichena tador iba sehishnana amani na manadena kirtaniya sadahadi. To be humble like the blade of grass, tolerant like tree, eager to offer all respect to others and expect no respect for oneself. Who in this world could possibly refuse such an effulgent great personality as Ramanujacharya to be your disciple and your eternal obedient servant? Kanchipurna, he said, no, I am not qualified. I am only a Shudra. I am not learned and I have no real devotion. I cannot take this responsibility. Ramanujacharya considered that it was due to his impure heart because of his disqualifications that Krishna was not giving him this benediction. Feeling himself unworthy, he pondered, how can I purify my heart to have qualification? By taking the remnants of the food of a great soul. Let me at least one time take the remnants of Kanchipurna. We read in Srimad Bhagavatam how Narada Muni in his previous life was a simple maidservant's son. But he told Srila Vedavyasa that because one time I took the remnants of the Bhakti Vedantas in the forest, I became purified. And that deep inclination, that deep yearning for Krishna consciousness awakened within my heart. This was Ramanujacharya's faith. Haridas Thakur, when he was offered any benediction by the Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what did he ask for? He said, let me become a dog or an insect near the house of your devotee in my future births. Because in that situation, I may by chance get the supreme opportunity of taking the remnants of the food from the plates of your devotees. I have no higher aspiration, no greater ideal than that. Then Thakur Haridas became ashamed that I have no right to ask for something so exalted as this in my condition. Just let me get the Maha Maha Prasad of your devotees. This is the faith of true Vaishnavas. Due to the illusion of Maya, we take ordinary things as very important. And the most important things we take very ordinary. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that there are three very powerful substances that awaken love of God within the heart. He calls them Mahabala, great power. The dust of the feet of a devotee. The water that has washed the feet of a devotee. And the crumbs of foodstuff that is left on the plates of a devotee. Mahaprasad remnants. He said, we must somehow or other obtain these powerful substances by whatever means necessary. Now, with material vision, these things are very difficult to understand. But the Shastra says, Mahaprasade Govinde Nama Brahmani Vaishnavi Svalpa Punyavatam Rajam Vishvasho Naiva Jayate. One can get the ultimate liberation if one has faith in Mahaprasad. Because prasad is none different than Krishna. It is his mercy. And we benefit by eating prasad, especially according to our faith. If we have faith in the glory of the Vaishnavas, if we have faith in Maha Maha Prasad, then by taking it, we become supremely purified. Chaitanya Charitamrita describes the story of, what was his name? Kaliya Krishna. Yes? Kaliya Krishna from Chandpur in Saptagram. Kaliya Krishna, he had so much faith in the purifying effects of the prasad offered to the Lord and then eaten by devotees, that he made it his life's mission to go to every Vaishnav in all of Bengal and somehow or other obtain their remnants. And when he went to Jadu Thakur, who happened to be a Shudra by caste, he brought him mangoes. Now Jadu Thakur considered, I'm so low. But anybody who loves Krishna thinks they're low. If you think you're high, it means you have no love for Krishna. It's very simple. So Kaliya Krishna understood he could not take the remnants of Jadu Thakur in his presence because he would never allow him. Kaliya Krishna glorified Jadu Thakur. That even if one is born in a family of dog eaters, if one is chanting the holy names of the Lord, one is considered to be fit to be guru for the whole world. Aho bata swapa chotogariyam yaj jivakri vartate namatubyam te pas tapas te juhuvu shashnuarya brahmanu chur namagranant yete. And Jadu Thakur says, what you are saying is correct, but it does not apply to me because I am not a devotee. I have no devotion. So Kaliya Krishna gave him mangoes. And then he left. And Jadu Thakur walked with him for some distance. And Kaliya Krishna said, now you go home, please. So Jadu Thakur went home. And when he turned his back and was not looking, Kaliya Krishna saw the footprints in the dust of Jadu Thakur and just put his head and bathed in the dust of his footprints in ecstasy, crying. That was his faith. And then he secretly hid in the forest behind the house and waited patiently. Now please understand, Kaliya Krishna was a very, very important person. He was a wealthy man, very highly placed in society. But he made his priorities of what's really important to spend his time. He spent the whole day hiding in the bushes. People work for some money, but he knew what the greatest treasure of life is. It's not money, it's mercy. And he specifically, very strategically gave mangoes. Why? Because nobody eats mango seeds or skins. So Jadu Thakur ate the mangoes, and his wife then ate the mangoes, and then his wife came to the backyard and threw them in the place where the refuse was to be kept. And when darkness came and no one was around, Kaliya Krishna went and he picked up those mango seeds that were already eaten thoroughly. And he picked up those mango skins and he chewed on them and sucked on them. And as he was doing so, tears of ecstatic love was pouring from his eyes. His hairs were standing on end. His limbs were trembling and his heart was erupting with love for Krishna. That was his faith in the power of the prasad of the devotees. And because he had that faith, Lord Chaitanya, who is seated within everyone's heart, was so pleased with him that he allowed Kaliya Krishna to do what no one else was permitted. When Lord Chaitanya would go into Jagannath's temple, Govinda would wash his feet along with Kashishwar Pandit. And no one was allowed to touch that water. Lord Chaitanya was very strict. But one day, as the water was being poured on his feet, Kaliya Krishna put his hands right under Lord Chaitanya's feet and caught every drop of that water, and right under the eyes of Lord Chaitanya, he drank it. The Lord said nothing. A second time, he put his hands under the feet and caught all the water and drank it. Lord Chaitanya said nothing. Everyone was watching, astounded. How is this possible? Lord Chaitanya is like a lion. He'd roar with anger if we touch him, even a drop. And he's drinking. A third time, he took all the water cascading from the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and drank it, and then put his hands down again. And Lord Chaitanya said, "That is enough. No one has ever taken like this." And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took big feast of Jagannath's prasad, and he told Govinda, "Give all my remnants to Kaliya Krishna." Why? He won the heart of the Lord because of his faith in the Vaishnavas. Mad bhakta puja vyadika. One who worships the devotees is more dear to Krishna than one who worships Krishna directly. And this was one of the cardinal principles of Sri Ramanujacharya's teaching. Service to the Vaishnavas is the greatest way of pleasing the Lord. And faith in the Vaishnavas gives the greatest pleasure to Krishna. So yes, Ramanuja had that plan. Let me get the remnants of Kanchipurna, and then this unqualified person will become purified, and maybe I will be eligible to become his disciple. So he invited Kanchipurna to his house for prasad with this aspiration. Now please know, to take the remnants of someone is not just a ritual. It is an act of completely humbling yourself before that person. If that is not your mentality, then the effect will not be the same. Could everyone hear? So he had his wife cook a wonderful feast. He gave the directions, what preparations. Great feast was going to be prepared for the pleasure of Kanchipurna. And at the time designated, Ramanujacharya was coming to the temple where Kanchipurna was doing his seva for Varadraj, fanning him and speaking with him. Varadraj would speak the most intimate thoughts of his heart to only one person, Kanchipurna. That was the intimacy of their love. But Kanchipurna understood Ramanujacharya's plan. So when Ramanuja left to get him, he immediately came to the house. And he told Rakshakambal, "Please give me prasad quickly, I have to go." She said, "Have a seat. Let me wash your feet. And please wait, my husband has just come to get you. He will be back any minute, please. He wants to greet you." He said, no, I'm sorry, I can't. I have to do special service for Varadraj Swami today. So give me prasad immediately." So under his order, she gave prasad. He took his plate and left, washed his hands, threw his plate in a distant place. But still, everything left in the pots is his Mahaprasad. So Ramanujacharya, minutes later, returned home and saw his wife cooking. He said, "What is it? Where is Kanchipurna?" She said, "He already came. But due to some emergency, he had to leave early." "Huh? But where is his prasad? Tell me, where is his prasad? And why are you still cooking? If he already ate, why are you still cooking? What is this?" And she said, "That my husband, you are a high-class Brahmin. And Kanchipurna is a Shudra. I cannot give you the food that he has eaten from. So all the remnants of his food, I went out and gave it to a Shudra woman, and I'm cooking fresh prasad just for you today." She thought she was doing service. Ramanujacharya was very angry. You fool. How can you categorize a great Vaishnav by these material designations? He is not a Shudra. He is greater than the greatest of all Brahmins. He is a Vaishnav. He is dear to the Lord. His prasad would have purified my heart. You have deprived me of this benediction. His wife looked down in shame. Meanwhile, Kanchipurna came back to Varadraj and he prayed to the deity. He said, I am a very low and simple man. I am just the servant of your servant of your servants. I want nothing else to be servant of the servant of your servants. But now this Ramanujacharya is asking me to be his guru. You are the cause of all causes. Why, Varadraj, why? Why do you want to disturb my life in this way to make me a guru? I have no qualification. And I will certainly be worshipped. And then I will be infatuated with false pride. I don't want anything to do with this. Please, grant me this benediction. Let me leave this place and go to Tirupati to worship your form as Balaji. Varadraj told Ramanujacharya, you have my blessings. You may go to Tirupati and worship me in my form of Venkateshwar. Kanchipurna walked all the way to Tirupati, climbed to the top of Tirumala, and with love and devotion every day would fan Venkateshwar. One time he was there, and Venkateshwar said that actually it's very cold here. I don't need your fanning. And he went to Sri Rangam to fan Ranganath. And Ranganath said, there's two rivers on both sides giving breezes. I don't need your fanning here. But Kanchipuram, that is a very hot place. You should go there and fan. So it was for this reason that he made his residence in Kanchipuram. On this particular occasion, he stayed in Tirupati for 6 months and worshipped Balaji. But then the summer season came and it was very hot in Kanchipuram. So Varadraj appeared in a dream to Kanchipurna and said, now the summer has come and I am very, very hot. Please come back to Kanchipurna and fan me. So with the blessings of Balaji and the order of Varadraj, Kanchipurna, as the obedient servant, returned to Kanchipuram to fan the Lord. At that time, Ramanujacharya, he inquired from Kanchipurna. He said that without a guru, I am having difficulty understanding the subtle points of the holy scriptures. And I'm confused about my duty. But you, Kanchipurna Maharaj, you can talk to Varadraj. Please ask him what knowledge I need to know to perfect my life. Kanchipurna stood on the altar, fanning Varadraj with a simple little fan soaked in water to give a cooling effect. And with tears of love in his eyes, He inquired from Varadraj. Ramanujacharya is asking you to enlighten him. What words would you like to speak? And Varadraj spoke these words. You tell Ramanuja that I have 6 points that I want him to understand and follow. The first is I am the Supreme Lord. I am Parabrahman, the source of Brahman. I am the absolute truth. From me all material and all spiritual worlds are emanating. There is no truth superior to me. Number two, that the jivatmas are eternally separated parts and parcels of me. They can never become one with me. The jiva is my eternal servant. Number three, that the only means of attaining true perfection in spiritual life is to surrender to me unconditionally. Number four, that my love for my devotee is so much that even if that devotee fails to remember me at the time of death, I will bring him to my abode. Number five, when my devotee gives up his body, it is my responsibility to bring him back home, back to Godhead. Number six, tell Ramanujacharya that he should take shelter of the great disciple of Yamunacharya, Mahapurna. At the same time, in Sri Rangam, about a year had passed since Yamunacharya had departed from the world, and there was a great emptiness in people's hearts. Although the Acharya Taruvaranga, who was the successor of Ramanuja, Yamunacharya, was very pure and very dedicated to his Guru Seva, he was not able to really inspire people's hearts like Yamunacharya was. People were feeling a great emptiness in their lives. Who was there to speak the scriptures like Yamunacharya? Who was there to inspire everyone's devotion to surrender everything to Krishna? So it was the successor himself, Taruvaranga, who out of his great humility, he said, I am not qualified for this position. It was Ramanujacharya who revealed to all of us that he understood the inner heart of our Guru Maharaj. We should bring him here to Sri Ranga and we should install him as the Acharya of our Sampradaya. And everyone there, all the disciples of Yamunacharya unanimously agreed, we must bring Ramanujam here. But Ramanujacharya was not even initiated yet. So Taruvaranga sent Mahapurna that you go to Kanchipuram. And he's so much deeply attached to Varadraj, it will be very difficult to get him to come here. So just give him your association. Give him initiation. And gradually see if you can bring him here. So Mahapurna was traveling to Kanchipuram. Meanwhile, Ramanujacharya was given the order by Varadraj to take initiation for Mahapurna. So Ramanujacharya was heading in the direction of Sri Rangam, and Mahapurna was heading in the direction of Kanchipuram. And just outside Kanchipuram, they met in a village. So in this village, Ramanujacharya begged Mahapurna to give him initiation. Mahapurna said, "It will be most satisfying if I give you initiation directly in the presence of your worshipable deity, Vadadraj Swami. So let us go to Kanchipuram and perform the ceremony there." But Ramanujacharya, he replied that we do not know when death will come. Death does not follow any social conventions. Death does not make any plan. I mean, death does not honor or respect anyone's plans in this world. It can come anytime or anywhere for anyone. So please give me initiation immediately, right here. So on the bank of a lake in a small village, Mahapurna initiated Sri Ramanujacharya and whispered the sacred Vaishnav mantra into his ear. Then they returned to Kanchipuram. They performed a yajna and all the ceremonies on the bank of this lake. And Ramanujacharya begged Mahapurna to be a guest and remain in his house and teach him the scriptures for one full year. Mahapurna at that time was also with his wife. So he and his wife stayed in a separate facility in Sri Ramanujacharya's house. 6 months passed. Sripad Ramanujacharya was overflooding with ecstatic joy to have the presence of Mahapurna, his beloved Guru Maharaj, in his house with him. Direct descendant of Yamunacharya. One day, when Ramanujacharya and Mahapurna were out together, Ramanujacharya's wife, Rakshakambala, went to a well to get water. At the same time, Mahapurna's wife was getting water. And as Mahapurna's wife pulled up the water from the well, some of the water from her pot accidentally sprinkled in Rakshakambala's pot. Rakshakambala blew up with an explosion of anger. Said, "What have you done? You have contaminated my water. This is the water I use to serve my husband." Said, "You are from a lower class Brahmin family. Do you know what a sin it is that you have just committed? Water from your pot to touch my pot? My father is a high class Brahmin. And my husband, he's bringing in low class people and spoiling all my father's traditions and all of his sacred rituals." Mahapurna's wife just sat down, put her head down, and cried. She was a very soft and gentle lady. When Mahapurna returned home, he saw his wife weeping. He asked, "What happened? Why are you so despondent?" She told him the story. Mahapurna, in great humility, he told his wife, "If we are causing inconvenience to this family, they have served us so nice, then we should leave immediately." And without saying a single word to anyone, they picked up all their little belongings and left back for Sri Rangam. Some time passed and Ramanujacharya returned home. He was shocked. All the belongings of Mahapurna and his wife were gone, and they were nowhere to be seen. He asked a neighbor, "Have you seen them?" And they said, "Yes, with all their belongings, they left." He ran to his wife, Raksha Kambal, and said, "What happened? What happened? Why did they leave?" And his wife said, "They poured water. She sprinkled water from her pot into mine. And I wasn't very angry. I just slightly told her it was the wrong thing. But then this Mahapurna, he took it so seriously that he left. What kind of great sage is he? Great sages are supposed to be tolerant. Great sages are not supposed to be angry. Great sages are not supposed to be forgiving. And he is your guru? Therefore I worship his lotus feet with my head and take the dust of his feet upon me for being such a great soul." She spoke very sarcastically. Ramanujacharya was despondent and disgusted. In his house, the great Mahapurna and his wife were offended so bad that they, with broken hearts, left. Ramanujacharya just walked out the door. He went to worship Lord Varadraj, begging him for direction. Just after he left, one Brahmin, very simple personality, came to Ramanujacharya's house to beg alms. But Raksha Kambala was so upset that her husband left the house in such an angry mood that when the Brahmin came and asked for alms, she just said, get out from here. She was in no mood to entertain anyone with hospitality. Sripad Ramanujacharya was coming home, and on his way he saw this Brahmin coming from his house in a very sad state. He said, "What happened? Did you go to my house and get alms?" And the Brahmin hung his head down and said, "Your wife, she yelled at me and kicked me out." At that point, Ramanujacharya understood exactly what his worshipable deity, Varadraj, was telling him to do. He said to the Brahmin, "I'm going to write a letter. You go back to my wife and tell her that this letter is from her father and that you were personally sent by her father to deliver it. And then I assure you she will give you a nice feast of prasad." Ramanujacharya wrote a letter. The Brahmin delivered it. "I have come on behalf of your father with a message for you." It was actually a message for Ramanujacharya. So she said, "Oh, you have come as a representative of my father to give a message to my husband? Please sit down and have nice prasad." So after he finished prasad, Ramanujacharya came, and his wife, very, very happy, she said, "I have a letter from my father. Let us read it. Let us read it." They read it together. "My dear son-in-law, my younger daughter is about to be married, and many, many guests are coming. And my wife is having great difficulty coping with all the responsibilities. So please send her to help her mother with the preparations of her sister's marriage. And if it is possible, you also come too." Sripad Ramanujacharya told his wife that, "I have pressing services for the deities here. I cannot come at this time. But you should certainly come and help your father and mother. And she was so excited. My sister's getting married. I'm going to see my mother and father again. So she blissfully left. Should I continue? Ramanujacharya came directly to the temple of Sri Varadraj. And bowing down before the deities with tears in his eyes and his heart filled with the desire to surrender, he prayed. He prayed, Varadraj Swami, today I am unconditionally surrendering to you. Today I will take complete shelter of you. Today I am exclusively your property. Today I will take sannyas. Kanchipurna came at that time by the arrangement of Varadraj to help with the ceremony. He was given saffron dress, which he put on. And then he was given the danda, the tridanda of the Vaishnav Sampradaya. And first, that tridanda was placed upon the lotus feet of the deity of Varadraj to sanctify it with his mercy. And then offering his prayers and offering his life in total renunciation to the deity of Sri Varadraj, he came to the place where we are sitting now. And it was here with the help of Kanchipurna that the fire yajna and the sannyas ceremony took place on the banks of Ananta Sarovar. This small one, it was here at this mandap that is right near the corner of Ananta Sarovar. This is where Sri Ramanujacharya sat and performed the ceremony of surrendering his body, mind, words, and life in the exclusive service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
He's saying there's a small inscription inside describing the event inside.
Even today there is a small inscription inside this mandapam explaining the event of Ramanujacharya's taking of sannyas here. Now in the history of the Sri Sampradaya, I have not heard of any other details in the life of Raksha Kambala. But certainly her father took nice care of her. But Sripad Ramanujacharya, he took sannyas not simply for his own benefit, but for the benefit of the whole world. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also left a wife, Vishnupriya, who was not even 16 years old, to go to Kantakanagar or Katwa to take sannyas. Why? For the higher purpose of giving the highest welfare, of preaching Bhagavad Dharma to the world, he was willing to make this sacrifice. Similarly, Ramanujacharya, his wife was beautiful, she was chaste, she was faithful, she had a wonderful personality, but she was not willing to help him in his mission. And he understood that the mission of the Lord is absolutely, ultimately, most important. It was his calling. And in a similar way, our beloved Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, he had a life's mission. To raise one family is wonderful. But there's hundreds and millions, billions of people dying without understanding Krishna. And it was his Gurudev's order to deliver them. Srila Prabhupada also left his family and took sannyas to travel around the world, preaching the message of the Vaishnavacharyas and spreading the glories of the holy names. After taking sannyas, hundreds, thousands of people were gathering around Ramanujacharya to learn the philosophy of Vishishtadvaita. His first two disciples were very prominent, celebrated personalities. His first disciple was his own nephew, whose name was Dasarathi, who was considered one of the greatest Vedic scholars of the world. His second disciple was a small king who was a great landowner in the area called Kura. He was from a very aristocratic family, very wealthy. His name was Kuresh. Ramanujacharya was attracting such high quality people. He was transforming their lives. He was totally annihilating the misconceptions of Mayavad philosophy and teaching the highest philosophy, culture, and etiquette of Vaishnavism. Right here in Sri Kanchipuram, regularly preaching right where we are today on the banks of Ananta Sarovar, where he took sannyas. Yadava Prakash, by this time he was an old man, about 80, and he could not tolerate seeing Ramanujacharya becoming so famous. People from all directions were coming to surrender to him. He was writing literatures that were inspiring people's hearts, but the problem was he was totally averse to Shankaracharya's philosophy of the jiva becoming God, which was Yadava Prakash's life and soul. Yadava Prakash's heart was burning with envy, but there was nothing he could do about it. The worst nightmare of his thoughts had come true. Should I continue? Yadava Prakash approached Kanchipurna and said, please go to Varadraj and tell him and ask him, what am I supposed to do now? It's just, everything's totally beyond my control. So Kanchipurna asked Varadraj, as he was fanning him, he said, Yadava Prakash wants to know what is his destiny. He's very disturbed in mind. And Varadraj told him that the philosophy of Shankaracharya is bogus. The teachings of Ramanujacharya are the absolute truth. He has a pure heart. You should surrender to him and become his disciple. So Kanchipurna came back and told Yadava Prakash this message, and he was not eager to accept it. But his heart became a little soft, and he approached Ramanujacharya, and he said, you're so effulgent, and you're so merciful and compassionate to everyone. But I cannot accept your teachings because it does not fall in line with Sripad Shankaracharya. I want to talk to you about this philosophy. Ramanujacharya said to Yadava Prakash, that you should speak to my disciple Quraysh. He will tell you everything. For many days, Quraysh explained the Vaishnava philosophy as he learned from his Guru Maharaj. It totally annihilated all the misconceptions of Yadava Prakash, enlightened him. He became so blissful. Love of God awakened within his heart. And he came before Ramanujacharya and fell at his lotus feet again and again and again in full dandavats. Tears, begging forgiveness, pleading with Ramanujacharya, I surrender to you. You are my only shelter. Please accept me as your disciple. And then and there, Ramanujacharya initiated Yadava Prakash as a sannyasi. And told him to write books with his realizations of philosophy. And he wrote two beautiful, beautiful books. And a couple years later, he passed away from this world. Should I continue, or is it time for proceed? What is the time now? My suggestion is everyone go for lunch prasad now. Do you like the place where we sat this morning? So everyone at 4 o'clock can assemble at that same place. Is there any organizers who know if prasad is ready now? The organizers are very much unmanifest during this yatra. The organizers are like salt. They give the flavor to the whole yatra, but they're invisible. Nobody sees them. Okay, so what we will do is at this time, we will all go for prasad. And then where we assembled this morning, we will meet again at 4 o'clock. And the temple closes at 8, so we'll have 4 nice hours to be there. And then tomorrow in the morning for japa, we will go to Shiva Kanchi. It's a very beautiful temple. And from there, after a small morning program, we will go to the birthplace of Sripad Ramanujacharya. Unless you want to go to Mahabalipuram instead. This evening we will have a vote where everyone wants to go. So now please go for prasad and we will meet back at 4 o'clock. Thank you very, very much. Sri Ramanujacharya ki. Shri Varadraj Swami ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Go Premanandi. So it is my great hope and the aim of my lecture is that when you go for the darshan of Varadraj Swami, you could very nicely appreciate the significance of this deity. Everyone sit down, please. I will tell one more story. One time, Gautam Rishi had a disciple who was bringing him water. And the disciple brought him a bucket of water that had two dead lizards in it. So Gautam Rishi cursed this person to become these two people to be lizards. Yes? He cursed these two disciples to be lizards. And they fell at his feet and begged forgiveness. And he said, you will be lizards, but if you go to Kanchipuram, you will be liberated. And not only that, but your deity forms as lizard will remain in Kanchipuram. And anyone who touches them will get their desires fulfilled. So in Vardraj Temple, how many of you have seen the lizards? So it's very auspicious to touch the lizards and make prayer as you're touching lizards. There's a gold lizard and a silver lizard. So let us offer our obeisances to the lizards of Kanchipuram. Vancha kalpatarubhyas cha kripa sindubhya eva cha patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavebhyo namo. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.